Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to worship on this eve of Pentecost 16, and a special welcome to guests and visitors that are with us. I see we got Mary Bates here too. If you haven't met Mary, she works, serves, if you will, with the NELC Disaster Response, and so she's much loved along with Disaster Response by our congregation. If you hadn't heard, we have a temporary warehouse out at the Vomhoff's place, and I think today you were bringing stuff back, right, from Emmons and from the convocation?
Yes, sir.
So that's good. I'm hoping, good Lord willing, this week maybe I can come out and be able to see the warehouse and what God is doing there too, allowing us as a congregation and the Iowa Mission District to also serve in the kingdom purposes of our Lord. So good to have you all here tonight. Let's begin with our gathering music, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. Congregation may be seated. A few announcements that I want to share with you. I remind you that following worship tonight, Julie will be visiting with the kids of our congregation and the parents if they'd like to. I think she said in the nursery area. And so that's going to be about, this is Rally Day, you know, so it's going to be about what we're doing for the younger kids. That's ages 4 through grade 3. And then also, I'll be sharing a little bit for any of the parents that want to know for grades 4 through 8. That's going to be with C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia. So we're doing things this year in light of still some of the COVID-19 precautions as well. This coming Wednesday, men's Bible study here at 11 a.m. Also next Saturday, we'll have a chance to meet one of our new pianists, a good friend of Margene's and from Byron. Her name is Jane. So Jane will be here next week getting a taste of revised edition of Holden Evening Prayer and also being able to meet some members of our congregation. And we'll be in good hands, thanks to Margene and Jane and stuff, while she is gone for the winter with her husband down in Arizona, okay? So keep that in mind. Also next Saturday, we'll be having communion. And we'll also have coffee fellowship afterwards, and Julie and Gary Engel are going to be hosting that for us as well. September prayer calendar and epistle newsletter are both in paper form in the back. Please pick up a copy of that as you would wish. And then Emmanuel Nominating Committee, different opportunities to serve in the life of the church. So if you have some of those interests, please contact some of the members of the nominating committee and let them know that you're available, willing, and desiring to serve. I think those are the announcements I wanted to highlight. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help your people to avoid the infection of the evil one, and with pure hearts to follow you, our only Lord. Grant this, we pray, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please rise as you are able for our liturgy. Hold an evening prayer. Jesus Christ is the light of the world.
The light no darkness can overcome.
Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening. Let your light scatter the darkness
and shine within your people here.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, triune God, we praise your name. Are the light of our pathways, and you are Congregation, may be seated for our psalmody. Women, group one, following Scarlett and Jenna. And then group two, the echo will be the men. You can follow with me. Let your loving kindness descend upon us, O Lord, and let the incense of our repentant prayer ascend before you, that with purified minds we may sing your praises with the church on earth and the whole heavenly host, and may glorify you forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
We prepare our hearts for the hearing of God's word.
The first reading is from James chapter 3, verse 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness, for we all stumble in many ways. And
Satan never wins, you know. We've got spares. Always trying to mess with the Word of God.
And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, also able to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us,
thanks be to God. I'll read the other one. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus, Peter, James, and John came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them, and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to Jesus. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for the one who believes." Immediately the father and the child cried out and said, "I believe. Help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to him, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And Jesus said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I already recorded and posted the children's message online, an unruly tongue based on James chapter 3. Let's sing together our song of the day, "Lord, Speak to Us That We May Speak."
Your strength.
your love to tell, your praise to show. The tongue, it is a fire, and it can be used as a tool for good or as a weapon to destroy. The tongue. Many a forest has been set ablaze by the tongue. The tongue can be good, or it can be a work of evil as well. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to use our tongues wisely, to praise you, to pray and intercede on behalf of others. Keep our tongues, O Lord, from evil. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the tongue. Sometimes we get tongue-tied. Sometimes we have loose lips. Sometimes we need to put a sock in it, huh? Because sometimes the words that we speak, James says, do not always edify or build up. But instead, sometimes those words tear down and destroy. And James says, all of us stumble. All of us stumble. If we didn't stumble, if we used our tongues always correctly, properly, well, then we would be perfect. But there is only one who is perfect. And James is speaking about his brother Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, the perfect one, God himself. So what are we to do about these unruly tongues that don't want to be controlled? What are we to do about the mouths that God has given us so that they can be corralled and so that they can purposefully be used for good and not become a tool of the evil one? Or as James would say, a vessel of deadly poison or a container of unrighteousness. The tongue. When I was younger and teaching young kids in confirmation class, we would look at the Ten Commandments. And when we would get to the Eighth Commandment in Luther's Small Catechism, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. I would tell the kids, it's about the tongue. Sometimes I would use an illustration, like maybe a tube of toothpaste. And I would open it up, and as I was squeezing it, I would talk about all the different ways that we use our tongues for evil. You know, you've probably seen it, right? People stick their tongues out because they want to show distaste, or they want to show displeasure. Or we say, in a sassing way, I don't have to listen to you. Maybe we sass our moms or dads or someone else. And I would do that, and pretty soon it'd be a mess. You know, with all that toothpaste all over the place, and the kids would be laughing. I'd say, okay, now I need a volunteer. I want someone to put all that toothpaste back in the tube. That's what James is saying. That's how destructive, that's how dangerous the words are. In fact, James will use one illustration in our epistle for tonight that is quite alarming. He says, with the same tongue, we bless the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus. And with the same tongue, we speak evil and we curse the very ones who are formed and shaped in the image of Almighty God. And then James doesn't say, well, let me give you a 12-step program of how to solve it. He simply says, and this ought not to be. It grieves the heart of God. This ought not to be. God gave us a tongue so that it could be liberated for good and not become weaponized for evil. And then as I was teaching the kids about the Eighth Commandment, about bearing false witness against our neighbors, we would say, do you know what Luther says? Martin Luther says in the Small Catechism, we are to fear and love God, so that we do not betray, slander, or lie about our neighbor, but defend him, speak well of him, and explain his actions in the kindest way. And then I would tell him one of my favorite stories. It's from a small village in Germany. And in the small village in Germany, there was a woman who had a disagreement with her minister. And so, because they disagreed, she decided that in this small village that she would spread some rumors about the pastor, some gossip. And then all of a sudden, this woman became terribly ill. And who did she call? She called her church. She called the church and said, I need the pastor to come and pray over me. And so the pastor, not one to hold grudges, went and visited with this woman so that he could pray over her, asking the Lord to heal her. But before he had a chance to pray for her, she said, I am sorry. She said, I've been spreading nasty rumors about you, and I need your forgiveness. She repented. She confessed. I'm sorry, she said. Will you please forgive me for what I've done? The minister said, but of course, I will forgive you. And there's one thing I need you to do for me. I'm going to pray over you, and after the Lord has healed you, then I want you to do me a favor. You know the black chickens you have. I want you to take one of those chickens. I want you to pluck all the black feathers off of it. And I want you to bring it in a basket to me. Now, this woman thought, this is a strange request. But she said she would do anything if he would be willing to forgive her. So she said, I'll do that. He prayed over her, and then she got well. And sure enough, she plucked those black feathers, and she brought that basket to the pastor. And she said, as promised, I brought you the basket of black feathers from my chicken. The pastor said, now I need you to do this. I need you to take those feathers, and I need you to go north and south and east and west in our village, and I need you to scatter them here and there and everywhere. Again, she thought, this is a strange request. But she did it. And she brought the empty basket back to the pastor and said, I've done it. And he said, good, thank you. Now I need you to do me one more favor. I need you to go back out there, and I need you to grab every single one of those black feathers, and don't miss a one of them. And distraught, she looked at the minister and said, but that's impossible. By now, the wind will have blown those feathers all over the place. I'll never be able to find them all. And the minister looked at her, and he spoke these words with his tongue. You see, I can forgive you with all my heart, but what we must remember, the tongue, it is a fire. And even though we can forgive with the tongue, the damage, the hurt, the harm that has been caused cannot be so easily undone. Keep your tongue from evil, keep your tongue from evil. Psalm 34:13. Keep your tongue from evil, keep your tongue from evil. Psalm 34:13. The tongue. You know, we have these phrases like, sticks and stones can break my bones, but names, words, they cannot hurt me. But I learned when I was a small child that words can hurt, and words and names can harm, and they can do damage to someone else. My mom would say, David, you need to think before you speak. My mom gave me good advice with her eighth grade education, because she went to the school of advanced learning by living out life faithfully in the presence of God. Think before you speak. Oh, I don't know if you've ever found yourself kind of, well, maybe doing something with the tongue that you wished you hadn't, saying something that you wished you hadn't. You know, I worked in a grocery store in high school and in college, And so when I came across the story about a grocery store, a young man who was in college and working there to help pay his expenses, he started off in the produce department. Now, I worked in the bakery, I worked in frozen foods, I worked in the meat department, in produce, all over the place. So I began to read the story about this unruly tongue. And here's what happened. The first day that he's on the job, this 19-year-old in the produce department, he's out there putting some of the vegetables on the shelves, and this lady comes up and says, "I'd like a half of that head of lettuce. Can you go and cut it in half for me, please?" And he tried to dissuade her. He said, "Well, actually, by the time we do that, you're going to probably pay as much or more than for the whole thing. Why don't you just take the whole thing?" "No, I want just a half of one." He said, "Well, then I'll have to go in and I'll have to talk to the manager and see if we can do that." So he goes in, you know, these doors that kind of swing. He has to go through the doors, and he's going back there to talk to the manager, and he didn't realize that this dear little old lady is following him. So he comes in there and said to the manager, "There's an old bag out there that wants me to cut half of a head of lettuce for her." And suddenly he could tell by looking at the manager's face, this was not good. He turns around and he said, "And this beautiful lady would like the other half of it. Would that be okay?" Well, you know, sometimes we get trapped by the tongue, and sometimes by the grace of God, we're maybe able to be released. Later that day, the manager says to this young man, "You know, you're pretty quick on your feet. I was surprised. I thought you were going to make it a difficult day for me and for the whole grocery store." And then the manager, he says, "So where are you from, son?" He says, "I'm from Toronto, Canada. You know, the home of beautiful hockey players and ugly women." Then the manager says, "You know, my wife is from Toronto, Canada." "Oh, what team does she play with?" Sometimes we can be quick on our feet when we're not so smooth with the tongue, huh? St. James says you've got to watch the tongue. You've got to guard the tongue. Because the reality is that the misuse of the tongue comes from the evil one himself. The devil does not want us to use the tongue for how God designed us to use the tongue, in prayer and praise and thanksgiving, to build up the body of Christ, to lift up the spirits of others, to be guided and filled and directed by the Holy Spirit. That's what God created us with a tongue to do. But instead, with the same tongue designed to bless our Heavenly Father, we end up cursing those made in His holy image. This ought not to be so. This ought not to be so, James says. How is it that we use the tongue correctly? Well, my mom said, "Think before you speak." And so some people would say, well, here is maybe something to consider. Think of the word think, T-H-I-N-K, as an acronym. And then, if we listen to my mama, think, David, before you use your tongue. T, is what you are about to say true? H, is what you're about to say helpful or hurtful? I, is what you're about to say inspired from the Holy Spirit of Almighty God? N, is what you're about to say necessary? And K, Is what you're about to say kind? Think before you speak. The tongue, James says, it's a fire. And fire can be used for good or for evil, to help or to harm. The tongue. Keep my tongue from evil, Lord, so that I might use it as you've designed it. Think about what the scriptures say about the proper use of the tongue, the good, holy, saving use of the tongue. For example, Philippians chapter 2, the Christ hymn. And every tongue will confess, and every knee will bow, right? Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Even the unsaved will have to bend the knee and will have to use their tongues to confess, I was wrong. Jesus is Lord. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, Jesus is Lord. Or Romans 10, where St. Paul says, you know, faith comes by the hearing of God's word, and what is heard comes from the speaking, preaching of Jesus Christ. And it shall be, St. Paul says, that if we confess with our tongues, our lips, our mouths, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. That's the promise of God's word. Or look at what happens on Pentecost Sunday. Acts chapter 2. The 50th day of Easter, and promises are being fulfilled. And 120 members of the church, the body of Christ, small, but empowered and filled. Every one of them, mighty rushing wind of God. Tongues of fire resting on their heads, and each one spoke with their tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and they spoke in native tongues of the people. Now what happened? Some people use their tongues to scoff and mock. They're drunk and filled with new wine. But others said, wait a minute, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. There's something more powerful going on here than just inebriation. Tell us more. And filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter uses his tongue to preach the good news of Jesus. And when he's done preaching, the people are cut to the heart, and they use their tongues, and they cry out in repentance, what must we do to be saved? And Peter says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. The word repent and the word be baptized, that's not once and done, my friends. It's a present tense verb, which means day after day after day after day, forever. In our gospel reading for tonight, we see Jesus and his disciples. They come down from the Mount of Transfiguration, James, Peter, John, you know, those three plus Jesus. They've been up there, and there's been some tongue conversation between Elijah and Moses and Jesus about his impending exodus, his death on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And when they come down, Jesus says, I don't want you talking about this. Don't tell anybody about what you've just seen and heard and experienced until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. And then, get out there and tell everybody. But they come down and the other disciples are there, and there's some bickering going on. And Jesus says, what's all the commotion? What's the fighting and arguing about? And a man steps out of the crowd and he says, well, I brought my son because he's got a tongue problem. He's mute because he's filled with demons. And I asked your disciples to heal him, but they were not able. This faithless generation, Jesus says. How long? Come on! Jesus has a conversation with the Father. Because the Father says, but if you are able, if I am able, if I'm able, all things are possible for the one who believes. And the Father and his child, both ignited by the Spirit, speak with their tongues, I believe. Help my unbelief. And Jesus healed that boy, cast out the demons. And in the house, do you remember what happened? The disciples say to Jesus, how come we weren't able? Jesus says, in such matters, much prayer is required. Much prayer. The miracles that God provides through the healing presence of his Son, Jesus, so that whoever confesses with their tongues, Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, who believes in their heart, God raised him from the dead, he's going to raise me too. This one shall know the miracle of salvation and will spend all of their days speaking, using the tongue to proclaim the good news of Jesus in word and in deed. Not just a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word, one who walks the talk and puts the tongue into holy practice. You know, today's 9/11, and so there's been lots of programs the last few days on TV about 9/11 and the terrorist attack 20 years ago, 20th anniversary. But you know, 9/11 is not just the terrorist attack. 8 years ago to this day, God brought new life into our family. The birth of my granddaughter, Josie, 9/11. 8 years ago to this date, I was installed as a pastor of this mission congregation, 9/11. 38 years ago today, I was ordained by the grace of God into word and sacrament ministry so that I could use this tongue to praise him and to proclaim his goodness, that there's salvation only in the name of Jesus. With every breath we take, it requires much prayer, my friends. Much prayer. So I read a story about a woman named Janelle. She was on the North Tower 20 years ago. She came from Trinidad. She was raised in the Christian faith, but she said, basically to please my mom, it was her faith, not mine. I came to America to get the good life. I was 31 years old that day. On the 64th floor, I had a boyfriend named Roger. We would probably get married someday, but what's the rush? There's always time. Suddenly, there was this loud explosion. We heard on the TV that was there on the 64th floor that it was a terrorist attack. We were told to stay there, but a lot of people panicked and got into the elevators, which we were told not to do. And then there was a second explosion. And there were 15 of us left on the floor, and we all started to make our way down the stairwell. And we started counting the floors. 60, 55, 47, 28, 20, 17. Pretty soon, the 13th floor. She said, I had to stop because I needed to take my shoes off. They were killing me. You know, the high heels that she was wearing. Janelle says, so I took them off, and when I did that, in that moment, there was the third explosion, and everything collapsed. And I was buried under glass and cement and dust. I was alive, but I couldn't move. Everything was dark. I spoke and no one answered. And as I laid there, I knew it was just a matter of time because I couldn't feel my legs. Just a matter of time and I would be gone. And I thought, what about my mama? What would she do if she was here? She'd be comforting me. And I know what she would say. She would say, pray. Pray. So Janelle said, I prayed. I said, Lord, I know that you're real. I believe, so help my unbelief. Lord, save me. I promise that if you save me, I will live according to your will from this day forward. And then she fell asleep and came awake, and time passed, and she had no idea, day or night, what's happened out there in the city. No one's going to find me. She said, I prayed again, and I said, Lord, apart from a miracle, I won't be saved. Can you give me a sign? Lord, I know that the best miracle you've given me is already mine. You brought me to faith in Jesus, Lord. Thank you. And that's the biggest, best miracle of all. And then suddenly she heard a voice. Hello? With a raspy voice filled with all this dust, she said, hello? She could only move her fingers of her one hand. And suddenly someone grasped it. She found out that his name was Paul. Paul said, we're going to get you out. I'm not going to let go. I'm going to hold your hand. She didn't know that it had been 27 hours that she had been buried under all that rubble of the North Tower, and that she was the last survivor that they would rescue. 2 months in the hospital, 4 surgeries, eventually able on crutches to get out of the hospital. She and her boyfriend Roger went to the Justice of the Peace, because there's not always time. Now she and Roger have 2 teenage daughters. 20 years ago, when somebody says to her, man, talk about luck. You were so lucky. You know what Janelle says? She said, it has nothing to do with luck. It was all the grace of God. Jesus saved me that day. And every day since, I live for his praise, and I live according to his will and for his glory. God saved her that day. And with a tongue, she was able to cry out for her Lord's mercy. Much prayer. We can use our tongues for good, or we can use them for evil. And so we pray with the psalmist, keep my tongue from evil, keep my tongue from evil. Psalm 34:13, keep my tongue from evil, keep my tongue from evil. Psalm 34:13. Think before you speak. I think my mama knew what she was talking about. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you have a copy of the liturgy, we're on page 9, and I invite you to rise as you are able. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
An angel went from God to a town called Nazareth, to a virgin whose name was Mary. The angel said to her, "Rejoice, O highly favored, the Lord is with you. You shall bear a son, his name shall be Jesus, the chosen one of God Most High." And Mary said, "I am the servant of the Lord. I live to do God's will. My soul greatness, O God, and my spirit rejoices. Congregation may be seated. I remind you that we don't pass the offering plates, but there are baskets in the back of the church, and you can support the ministry of Christ as the Lord leads you, either here or elsewhere, but do it always for the glory of God. We continue then with our prayers. For peace between peoples. For us who are gathered to worship and praise you. For all of your servants who live out your gospel. That justice might guide them. For all those who labor in service to others. Grant weather that nourishes all of creation. Keep watch on our loved ones and keep us from danger. For all the beloved who rest in your mercy. Help us, comfort us all of our days. Keep us, hold us, gracious God. We name before you tonight and ask for your gift of healing for Mike Engel, for Jenny Brown, for Ariana Bonanen, for Letha Bothan, for Deb Spitzer, Don Holt, and Barbara Stephenson, for Pastor Timothy Keller. We pray for your healing, Lord, for Mark Patterson, for Jay Skime, for Melody and Paige and Steve, and for Sam and for Jane. Lord, we pray that you would bless Ashley and Taylor united in Christian marriage this day. We pray your blessings upon the North American Lutheran Church and Bishop Selbu. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to use the NALC as an instrument of your blessing and as a vessel of your proclamation of good news. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please rise for the blessing. Let us bless the Lord. May God the Father bless us and keep us. May Jesus be the light of our lives. May the Spirit of truth be our guide and path for all of our days. Amen. Go in peace, serve the Lord. And our going forth song, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. Pure.